Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Tuesday, December 16th, day after Wild Card Weekend wrapped up, so a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about all those games, preview the next round of games. I think it's going to be a good episode.
Yeah.
Excited to talk about it. Got a good top five football related, so I'll give you a heads up on that.
Sounds good.
I think this will be another easier one for you.
Cool beans.
As always, not as always, I'm getting better at this. Reminding you, if you haven't subscribed, feel free to do so. 5-star review, mjdoubletake.com. Check that out, all that good stuff. And we do always start with the ick of the week.
Of course.
Fellas, this week's ick to avoid, and I actually agree with this one.
Okay.
Green techs.
For the phones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, if you don't have an iPhone, you can't be a part of, like, any group chat. It's really hard to communicate with people. Jesse, our little brother, has ruined our family group chat.
It's true. Now, here's the thing. Is it an ick? Absolutely. Who's it an ick for, though? Because I think it is an ick for Apple. Because
everyone with an iPhone.
Well, they're just needlessly making it harder. Like, I don't, like, how many more iPhones do we think that they sell because they're doing this? And is the right way to sell iPhones by having people be ridiculed by their families until they switch?
I don't think they care what the right way is. I think they just care about how many they're selling.
But they should. Like, it's so needlessly, like, they've needlessly made a worse product.
But they have, and now I, like, instead of just typing in, like, family, I have to type in everyone's name individually every time I'm trying to text them.
Yeah. It's annoying, for sure.
It's super annoying.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with the Cowboys or the Eagles? I think we have to start with one of those two.
Yeah, well, is there a way, like, I can't really enjoy the Cowboys because of the Eagles. So I think, yeah, let's just get the Eagles out of the way, I think is going to be the best way to do this.
I'll let you take the floor then.
Okay, well, first off, shout out to Jason Kelce. Announced he's retiring today.
He did announce that?
He did, or Adam Schefter said he did anyway.
I did see a quote from, like, some, not a quote, it was like a picture of Jason Kelce, like, doing his podcast, and it was like, podcaster quits day job. So,
yeah, there you go. Well, and I mean, like, but yeah, really, like,
he kind of knew. He's like crying on the sidelines.
Yeah. Well, and like, I think one thing to take a moment, because I think it is good to start on a positive note and acknowledge this. Like, how many offensive linemen have made the sort of impact where this many people are aware of who they are and are interested in their retirement? Like, I do think it is unique. I think I'm noticing it more because I'm an Eagles fan. But I think, you know, like, pretty much anybody in our fantasy football group knows Jason Kelce from before Travis started dating Taylor.
Yeah,
I know that's made him more visible.
I would say, yeah, obviously, it helps having Travis, but I don't think it's only because of Travis. Like, do you think you'd recognize Trent Williams if you saw him?
No.
I think most people wouldn't.
Right.
I think most football people, like, football fans would recognize Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
I don't think people would recognize, like, Brandon Ayuk.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think part of that is, like, I know he's done the podcast. He's done the Amazon series. He does have a very distinctive look. Like, I think Joe Thomas on the Browns was as famous, if not more famous than him. He just looks more like an average person.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce's just got those glorious eyebrows.
But, like, Michael Orr has a movie about him. He could walk up and say, hey, I'm Michael. I don't think I'd recognize him.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, and that just speaks to how great of a player he is, how much his teammates like him, that, you know, he's a guy that Philadelphia loves to love, and that's a cool athlete.
I think because he has the podcast and everything, it kind of gets lost that he is, like, a very, very good player.
Yes. Like, and the fact that, you know, it's crazy that he's not the best football player in his own family. Travis Kelce's first-round Hall of Famer, easy. I don't know enough about offensive linemen getting to the Hall of Fame. I know Jason Kelce's going to the Hall of Fame. I don't know how many goes around it takes, but
yeah, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah,
Jason Kelce.
Right. But yeah. So anyway,
another hole for you to plug, though.
Yeah, that's acknowledging that. I think, you know, before we get to the holes, before we get to the roster reconstruction of next year, it just, like, it feels like the Eagles are broken. You know what I mean? Like, there's that feeling, like, right before the Jazz traded Donovan and Rudy. It's like, oh, the team is broken, and they're not going to get fixed.
We kind of, for, like, 2 years have been pointing to this year as, like, the last real hurrah before, like, Jalen Hurts' contract kicks in. Probably Jason Kelsey's gone. Probably Lane Johnson's gone. Possibly, at least. I would assume probably.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I mean, we're just talking big picture. We were always pointing to this year. Offensive, I love Brian Johnson. Like, he led, I think, the coolest drive in college football history, the Sugar Bowl. First drive of the game, 5 complete passes, just walked down the field against Alabama.
Yeah, no, that was great.
So I don't want to blame this all on him. Let's blame it on Sirianni as well, because he is the head coach. Tampa was bringing heat, playing, you know, man coverage most of the entire game.
Uh-huh.
And the Eagles kept, like, getting in shotgun empty and just running these, like, 5-step drop, 7-step drop, like, long developing pass plays. And I was, like, yelling at the TV. I don't know if you were here for that. I was like, just throw a slant route. Like,
yeah, and it was so obvious that they're bringing 7 guys, 8 guys, yeah. You know?
Like, that's a problem if you have 2 awesome receivers, but one of them's hurt. The third receiver, besides linebacker, I would argue is it was a big problem. I think you're going to say the secondary is a bigger problem. And linebacker is probably the biggest. But not having another guy who can, like, beat, like, get open and create separation by himself, I don't know what Jalen Hurts is supposed to do.
I mean, it's hard to say. Like, you're not going to win a lot of playoff games only scoring 9 points.
You need a third receiver. And the first two are fantastic. But A.J. Brown goes down. Devonta Smith's all alone. Honestly, with Devonta Smith, they could have done some more stuff to, like, get him open, like, let him cook better.
Yeah,
because he can beat man coverage.
He had a couple of really good passes. I think a lot of those plays didn't have enough time to develop, like you were saying. Yeah.
I'm truly shocked that a Jalen Hurts-led team just, like, fell apart. Just not even, like, from Jalen Hurts' plays, like, a leadership perspective, and not blaming it on Jalen. But, like, he's, like, the most, like, stone-cold, like, since, I don't know who, like, you know, everyone, like, respects him as, like, a leader and a motivator.
Yeah, like
what went wrong?
Like, do you think, yeah, it's just something mental in the locker room, and I don't know what that would be. Like, do you think he's hurt? You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, his hand is hurt, but.
But I know, but that was recent. Like, I mean, like, for a couple
like
of months.
Like, in the Niners game?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. He would be the one to not say anything, probably.
Yeah, like, I don't think he would say anything. And I just feel like, because he's certainly not playing as well as he was last year. He has, you know, pretty much the same tools, if not better tools, around him. I don't, and it's like, there's no reason for us not to be really good running the ball, but it seems like our only running plays, like our significant ones, is a brotherly shove, you know? And I feel like we didn't use the running backs as often or as well as we did last year, and I think that's created a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. I think A.J. Brown goes down. I think even playing the way we were in week, you know, 10, when we were 10-1, I think that we still have a lot of problems with A.J. Brown going down. So it's kind of like we're having 2 different discussions. Like, yeah, we lost this because of A.J. Brown, but there's something else bigger going on.
Yeah. You know, what the Niners do so well is they have one play that they can run, like, 4 things off of.
Yeah.
And it looks the same. So they could run, like, let's say they line up Christian McCaffrey's in the backfield, like, tight end, 2 receivers, whatever, juice check somewhere. Like, they can move juice check around anywhere, and they run, like, a zone. The linemen are doing, like, the same thing, like, blocking, like, a zone play to the right. But they can hand it off McCaffrey, do like a jet sweep, play action, put like a few passing concepts off of that.
Yeah.
And the Eagles, I never felt like that. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to need to, you know, secondary like is a problem, but I think linebacker is a bigger problem. And offensive line is going to be huge. So looking to that, I think those are the things they're going to have to do.
Yeah, well, if Lane Johnson leaves, we're going to need another tackle. Probably Landon Dickerson might move from guard to center.
Yeah. Right
center at Alabama.
Uh-huh.
I can but, see like, that. Another interior offensive lineman, like, for sure.
Uh-huh.
At least 2 of those.
Right.
I think 2 more defensive backs and 1 more linebacker. So that's 5 picks. and another receiver. So that's six picks. I think you only have like six or seven in the draft.
Well, the thing is, like, are you going to get someone to come in and be a great player in the sixth round?
Yeah, you're relying on rookies. And honestly, even first-round rookies don't always produce their first year.
Right.
So tough. Interested to see what they do with free agency.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, though, Baker Mayfield. Good for him.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah. I love Baker.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome.
Good for – yeah, I like Baker. You know, I don't – yeah, I don't have any animosity towards him. And that defense did look really, really good. So, yeah, they're a better team than I thought they were, for sure.
You know, their GM – I'm blanking on his name, so I apologize for that. But, like, drafting Vita Vea, defensive tackle from Washington, I think, like, 14th or 15th pick.
Mm-hmm.
Tristan Wirfs, they traded up to, I think, the 11th pick. To get him, who's arguably the best right tackle in the league, Penei Sewell would be the other one. They've drafted so many secondary players, and they smothered the Eagles last night.
Yeah,
they've drafted really well, and the division sucked. So I don't want to say no one expected them to win, but I don't think people expected them to win with Baker Mayfield playing quarterback. So it was impressive for them what they've done, and I'm interested to see next year what they do. Mike Evans, wide receiver, you know, and Godwin are getting older. I thought Trey Palmer played great for Nebraska, from Nebraska, excuse me. So I'm interested to see what they do. Now they go into Detroit. Let's talk about the Detroit game, just because that's who Tampa Bay is going to be playing. Jared Goff gets his revenge. One of my favorite things in the world is Dan Campbell's speeches. Did you see Dan Campbell's locker room speech after that game?
I haven't seen this one.
So basically he talked about the GM, Brad Holmes, and you know, what, how good he is, and like everything like that. And then he gave the ball to Jared Goff. And the only thing he said to Goff specifically was like, "I'll tell you what, man, you're good enough for Detroit." I loved it. Good. I love that team loves Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff loves that team and that city. Dan Campbell truly, I think, loves Detroit. There's just like an energy. And I'm going to be sad when the 49ers have to beat him in the NFC Championship.
It does feel like this. It does feel like Detroit could have been this for so many years. You know, the attitude of the city and the people, like the team. The city's really, really wanted to embrace the Lions, right? Like, we've got a cousin, shout out to Mike Curto, who I could never figure out why he didn't abandon the Lions or why he cheered for them in the first place, but I just think they really, really love him up there. And so for the team to finally have this attitude is a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, good for them. And Jared Goff, like, he was the number one pick coming out of Cal from Marin County out in, you know, north of San Francisco. And in L.A., he didn't live up to it, but he also took him, like, went to a Super Bowl with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of gets trashed on, but he's one of those, like, tier two quarterbacks, like, where people put Kirk Cousins as, like, the best in that tier. I would say Jared Goff's at or above that.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Don't want to just look at their resume, but I would take Jared Goff over Kirk Cousins. Like,
he's certainly had better playoff moments.
Yeah. 100%. Now, they have two awesome running backs, offensive line, arguably the best in the league. Philadelphia is another argument for that. But top three, top five offensive line. Penei Sewell, man. St. George, Utah kid.
Shout out.
And his family, I don't know why he's in St. George, because his brothers came up to, like, Utah County, like, went to Orem High School, closer to BYU.
That is interesting.
So I don't know if the family moved or what, but...
Yeah. Was he Pine View?
No, it was like Desert Hills, like one of those new high schools.
Oh, yeah. No, they went to, I remember them going to the state championship probably a couple times, actually.
I mean, if you have like a 6'5", 300-pound high schooler walking for you.
That really helps.
Yeah, just run it to his side every single
play. Yeah, let's just always go to the left.
And... Yeah. I remember, I heard about Penei Sewell when he was a sophomore, because I think Oklahoma offered him, or like some big program offered him like super early. It's like there's a thought, like, sophomore kid getting offered by this big program is like a lineman. So I've always followed his career. And then Oregon, he was awesome. Detroit, he's been fantastic. Amon-Ra St. Brown, what a guy. Mid-round pick. He was awesome at USC, but I don't think he tested like great. Like I don't think he ran like a 4.3. Probably ran like a 4.5 or something like that. I can look up his combine. But he just knows how to get open.
Yeah.
And he's explosive after the catch, like with the ball. He's physical. I think my favorite, I've talked about this probably like every time on the podcast, but that, like, Jameson Williams blocking downfield for David Montgomery in that Chargers game. And I love, like, just his, I almost said animal.
It's kind of a better word.
His emotion, like, watching David Montgomery score, I think that sums up perfectly, like, just how Dan Campbell's gotten him to buy in.
Yeah.
So, I think they're awesome.
I want to go back to Amon-Ra real quick, and this is more of a football question than a Detroit question. But how come if you're, and maybe they do, and maybe I just don't know, but how come if you're a wide receiver in high school, how come you're not only watching film of people like Amon-Ra St. Brown, people like Antonio Brown? That's where they're both brown, actually. You know what I mean, though?
Like, just like the route runners?
Yeah, just because it seems like if you're a high school kid, or even if you're a college kid, you're probably not going to be the fastest guy on the field. You probably can't jump 40 inches. So it seems like that should be the thing to do. Like, what are they good at that's so hard for people to do if it's not like natural athletic ability?
So Keenan Allen and Dez Bryant actually do this really well, but with route running, and De'Ami Brown, actually, who plays for Washington but went to North Carolina, actually wrote an article about him. I like took one route from a game against Miami, like broke it down like step by step. But like, I know you asked about Amon-Ra St. Brown, but like Dez Bryant and Keenan Allen, one thing they do really well, and Amon-Ra does as well, is like manipulate the blind spot of the defensive back. Mm-hmm. So when you're a receiver, you want them to think you're going deep on every play.
Yeah.
So first having that get off and getting like on the toes of the defensive back, like closing that space in their back pedal, or if they're like, they turn their hips or whatever. At some point a defender's going to have to turn his hips. Mm-hmm. So what Dez Bryant and Keenan Allen and all these guys we're talking about do really well is like, I don't know how to explain it, but like they understand like where, like what a defender's looking at, like where his eyes are, which is where his eyes aren't. So like Dez Bryant, there's a route I'm picturing in my head where he, instead of running straight, he runs like a degree inside and then like a degree outside. So the defender has to like change his motion. And then when he's outside, the defender starts to turn. And right when the defender turns, Dez Bryant like goes and runs a comeback.
Yeah.
So it's just these like slight, it's honestly like super small stuff, but like it's not just running like 5 yards straight up and then like turning left and like going out. It's like understanding like leverage and when to break, when not to break, when to sit down, and like what a defender's doing, like the mindset of defender.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff goes in. And it's honestly like super small stuff where like if we're watching a game, I could point it out to you, but it doesn't really look like it's doing anything. But if you know what you're looking for, it's like crazy.
Yeah. No, that all makes sense to me. Yeah. So, yeah. And it does seem very, very hard to do.
It is. It honestly is like instinctive.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously reps help. But so our high school, I was a receiver. I wasn't very fast, obviously, if you recall. Although I did run a 53-second 400.
It's a solid 400.
Yeah. But I didn't run like a 4.3, 40 or anything like that. So I was talking with this kid named Zach Wade, who played on the team when I was in sixth grade that went to the state championship with Stanley Avili, played at USC. That was like the first Cottonwood High School team that went to the state championship. And he was the best receiver. He's the one who caught that pass to like go into overtime that the kicker missed. Our friend's older brother.
Oh, I forgot. So the kick was to go into overtime.
The extra point was to go into overtime, but then he missed one in overtime to lose.
Oh, wait. So wait, if he would have made the extra point, then they would have won?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then they went to overtime.
That's what it is.
And then in overtime, he missed another kick.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's poor guy.
But anyway, Zach Wade, the kid who caught the pass, he was like, as a sixth grader, you know, you watch the high school real estate championship, you think he's awesome. So he came back and I was talking to him one time and he was just talking about like, it doesn't matter how fast you run. It matters like how good your routes are and like getting open. And like Cooper Kupp is a good example of that. Cooper Kupp ran a 4.6.
Yeah.
Nakua, I think, ran like a 4.5 or 4.6 too. So those are two guys on the Rams on the other side of the game. Yeah. That truly is the most important thing.
Yeah. Someone give the receiving coach in LA a raise.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing a great job.
Cooper Kupp, I think, was not a first rounder. I think third, like maybe.
Yeah, I thought they said third.
Maybe yeah, fourth. I don't think he went the second. I thought he was like third or fourth, like, because he's this white kid from Eastern Washington who ran a 4.6, so he's not going to go that high.
Yeah, no, mathematically, you can't go higher than three.
No, those guys, and obviously like Justin Jefferson and stuff, people like that do it as well, or like Jamar Chase, but like Kupp is really good.
Yeah.
I
kind of just mean like it's sort of like watching film on LeBron James doesn't really help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you can't watch film on Shaq.
Where like Ricky Rubio would be more helpful probably. You're more Tony Parker, more relatable.
Yeah, it's like you're not going to watch videos of Shaq and be like, "Oh, I'm going to go do that Shaq thing."
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, Des Bryant's like 6'4", 3 or something like that. So that's not relatable, but like his route running is.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Des Bryant's underrated. I know you don't like him because he played for the Cowboys, but.
No, I think he's a great receiver.
Very good. Good route runner. Keenan Allen's good as well.
The thing with the Cowboys and are you done with the Lions? Or
no, we can just go wherever we want.
Well, I was just going to say that's the thing with the Cowboys. They're all great players. I think they're a phenomenal team. They have so much talent.
Their offensive line's good, yeah.
And that's what's so great about it is that they just come the first round, they're just going to figure out a way to blow it.
Do you know the Packers have more playoff wins at AT&T Stadium than the Cowboys do?
That doesn't surprise me. The Houston Texans have more playoff wins since they were created than the Cowboys. So they had to exist, build a roster from nothing, and since then have won more playoff games than the Cowboys have.
So, it's so embarrassing. So that's the problem with like Jerry Jones is he's always like, he doesn't realize he's the problem. Like, he has to be the problem. He's changed coaches. I guess only one time, really. Like, Jason Garrett was there for a while. But, like, there's a problem, and he has to be the common denominator. But he's not going to fire himself.
No, he's not. Well, he bought the team because he likes moving the pieces around.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, I mean, he's figured out how to get good players on the team.
Yeah. Why would they hire Mike McCarthy? I'm still trying to figure that. Like, one of our friends texted me after the game. He's like, what's the over-under for, like, McCarthy having his job? He's like, I'd say 60 minutes, like, right after the game.
Yeah.
And I dragged him back. It's like, 60 minutes is 2 years more than I would have given him.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what 15 years with Aaron Rodgers and one Super Bowl says that's a good coach.
It makes zero sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and Matt LaFleur, what a coach he is. Like, that's what I was talking to another one of my friends. He was like, what do you think about the game? I was like, well, the Dallas is good and they have better players and blah, blah, blah. But I trust Matt LaFleur a heck of a lot more than I trust Mike McCarthy. So I think I'm going to go with the Packers.
I didn't even realize that Mike McCarthy used to coach for the Packers. That makes it even funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I had missed that wrinkle somehow. So,
like, just like that nuance of the game.
Yeah, that I'm sure he really wanted to win. It's like, oh, it's going to feel good to beat this team that fired me.
Yeah.
I'm a 2 seed and they're a 7 seed and I've got all the talent in the world.
Yeah.
They've got a quarterback from Utah State.
Good for Jordan Love.
Yeah, no, he has. It's funny that he, like, we were talking about how bad he was, and then we didn't talk about him for 10 weeks. It's like, oh, yeah, he's a starting quarterback for sure.
Yeah, because the first, like, whatever month of the season, is like, oh, he's actually playing pretty good. Then they had that stretch. I was like, oh, what's wrong with the Packers? And then the last little bit of the season, he's like back. He's like, oh, this is like, he's having a good season and he's playing well.
Now, I will say, and I think he's great. I think he's going to do good. I think people are jumping the gun a little bit that the Packers are like, okay, the Packers got Brett Favre and then they got Aaron Rodgers and now they have Jordan Love. It's like, let's calm down just a second. Let's give him 3 or 4 or 5 years before we start saying he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, he's... Yeah, I haven't seen enough to put him in that tier yet either, but he's good.
Yeah,
Better than I thought he would be.
For sure, yeah.
Happiness is expectations minus reality.
It's true. And that's what's so great about the Cowboys is they think they're going to win the Super Bowl every year. So, and why Lions fans are just this is like the happiest I've ever seen sports fans ever, I think.
So stoked. Our mom was like, we were watching the game with her and she's like, why is that person crying? Sports will do that to you.
It is like, it's like, and I'm sure Cubs fans were ecstatic when they were winning the Super Bowl, but this felt way too close to the Cubs winning the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it felt so in that realm of how happy they were.
I didn't get booing Stafford, and I think we talked about this like during the game.
Yeah, that did seem very. I didn't get that.
I didn't get it either.
Because like, what we said last week basically was like I'm sure he was happy leaving, but he didn't particularly request a trade. He didn't do any James Harden shenanigans. You know, it wasn't as direct as Paul George, who I thought was didn't think do anything wrong when he wanted to leave the Pacers. Like he just basically said, "I'm going to sign as a free agent, so you might as well trade me to get some value." I don't see how you can be mad at that.
Yeah.
So,
like, if someone doesn't want to be there, you don't want to be there. And I think it was just kind of time with Stafford. Detroit was going to enter a rebuild. It made more sense for Detroit to trade him anyways.
Yeah, they got...
It was just, like, time.
When they brought over Jared Goff, who was younger and is going to be there for a while and not get paid as much as Stafford was paying, I'm sure they got some other useful players who I'm not aware of who else came over in that trade, but they got a bunch of draft picks, too.
Yeah, I saw a list of, like, the players, and I was like, oh, those are all really good players.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, Detroit hasn't drafted perfectly, but they have drafted really well.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of people in this draft, so 12th pick, Jahmyr Gibbs, 18th pick, Jack Campbell. So running back and linebacker. Most people are like, what's up with that? Makes no sense, position value. I agree with that. Second round, I think, like, the 35th pick, they got Sam Laporta, who, like, broke, like, a lot of rookie tight end records.
Yeah, been phenomenal.
And then their next pick, they got Brian Branch, defensive back from Alabama, who played that star position that, like, Minkah Fitzpatrick played. Like, the best defensive backs at Alabama play that star position.
Yeah.
And he ran, like a 4 or 5, or like, he tested poorly, so he went to the second round. When, like, player-wise, I think he was, like, a top 5, like, actual player, like, from college football last year.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to the Eagles drafting him.
Yeah, no, he would have been great.
Yeah.
Or, like, Caleb Downs, I think, is playing the star at Alabama, because Terrion Arnold's playing corner. Yeah. But, yeah, and Brian Branch has been, like, unbelievable. Laporte, like, and Jahmyr Gibbs, even though he drafted him at 12, he had, like, over 1,000 yards. They had two, I think both their running backs went over 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah.
Jack Campbell's one of those guys who's just, like, Brad Holmes, the GM, they, like, know what they want. They want a certain personality, a certain attitude, a certain type of player, and they got him. And I would say Jack Campbell's been not, well, I don't say the worst because he's been good, but compared to, like, the other three, he's been, like, a very good linebacker, especially linebacker for rookies is tough.
No.
And he's played well. So they don't care about anything. They just get the guys that they want, they know are going to fit their culture and their building, and good for them.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to beat Tampa. I love Baker. I think Detroit's, you know, on a mission to lose to the Niners in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, no, they've been really great. They should have beat the Cowboys a couple of weeks ago, so I'm really glad. I'm glad the Cowboys lost again, and so Detroit gets another home game.
Yeah.
Fans deserve another home game.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun for them. Let's talk AFC. So the Chiefs game, I don't have a ton of takeaways. With that weather, I didn't think there was any way Miami was going to do anything.
Uh-huh.
I don't get not wearing sleeves in the cold. It doesn't help anyone.
Yeah, no, there's no reason to not do it. Because it has to, like, I know some people put Vaseline on. It has to help more than Vaseline, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was dumb from both sides. CJ Stroud looks good.
Yes, he does.
Good for Houston. What? So they could have Coach of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Defensive Rookie of the Year.
That would be nuts.
Man, and they were picking number 2 last year. Were on track to pick number 1, but won that last game of the year. Uh-huh. And now they're in the divisional round with, like, a legitimate franchise. We talked about Jordan Love's not there yet. CJ Stroud, I think, we all think, is in that, like, top tier.
Yeah.
Of top 8 or 10 or whatever.
Right, for sure. Yeah, man. So that, yeah, speaks how good the 49ers are. They lost that great of a coach and are still just rolling.
They keep losing every coach. And, like, Brian Griese is, you know, getting interviews. They lost Adam Peters, the assistant general manager. Last year they lost Carthon to the Titans, someone in the front office. Robert Saleh, Mike McDaniel. Like, they've lost more coaches than anybody.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Right, yeah. Remember, a few years it was McVay, yeah, hit university where everybody was McVay coach. I feel like that's turned into Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, but for defense, too.
Yeah.
It's not even the offense. Like, his defensive crazy. Guys keep getting hired.
It is crazy.
Good for Kyle Shanahan. No, I'm so excited for that. Oh, I guess we can talk about it now. My friend, do you remember that blonde girl at Connor's wedding? Her name's Becca, lives in California.
Not specifically, I do not.
Well, she texted me and asked if I wanted to go to the game. And I do. I'd have to drive there though, because the flights are like $700, which I think is absurd.
Yeah. But she has a ticket for you?
I'd have to buy the ticket
Oh, okay.
too. But they're nice seats. And I love beating the Packers.
It's true. You do love that. Never been to an NFL playoff game before.
No, and I've been in Niners games, but not in. And I've been to Levi Stadium, but not for the Niners.
Not for
I've been in Niners on the road.
Interesting.
It'd be fun.
It would be
and just
fun.
driving through like Elko and Winnemucca in the winter with the wind and stuff seems kind of sketch.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You
But it'd
could.
be fun.
Isn't like Isn't there another route? Like, isn't it going through LA like obviously slower, but not as slow as you would think it would be?
Let's see.
So I think, yeah. What better podcast content? What's the fastest way to drive on LA? Listen as we type it into Google Maps,
Okay, so
tell
it's,
you the projections.
yeah, 12 hours from our place going through Nevada. Let's say if we go through like Vegas and Los Angeles. What that looks like. Okay, so that is 15 hours. So
So,
only 3 more hours.
yeah, so only 3 more hours for
It's a much prettier drive.
you would like to drive a lot more for
Because
sure.
it would be not in Winnemucca.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, that's something to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm truly thinking about doing it. I probably won't, but I'd say I'm like 30% gonna do it.
Yeah, take that Monday off work.
I'd probably just drive all day Sunday.
What time is the game?
6 at night, 5 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah, so wouldn't. Oh, but it's a game on
It's
Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought the game was
Yeah, so
Sunday.
I'd leave
I was like,
like
that is still not enough time.
I'd leave Friday and sleep in like St. George or Vegas or something, probably St. George, and then drive from there to Santa Clara, and then go to the game, and then Sunday drive home.
Gotta be honest, I'm sure the game would be fun. 30 hours of driving with a 4 hour football break seems miserable.
It's not only 49ers, but it's like the playing the Packers is like playing like the Cowboys. Like I love being the Packers.
That's true, yeah.
I'm thinking about it. It is dumb, yeah.
Well, we will keep you
I'll let
updated
you know.
if that happens.
That'd be so fun. I really want to do it. I don't know much on the Bills game. I am excited about the Bills Chiefs. I'm actually more excited about the Texans Ravens, what I picked to be the AFC Championship game, but matchups didn't work out. Bills Chiefs, that's going to be the game of the week nationally, though, I think.
Oh, it's gotta be.
I don't, yeah. Like, I just think both teams are at a point where the Bills actually are playing well and they look good offensively. I think there's just always a high chance of one or two, like, dumb Josh Allen turnovers that
Right.
cost the Bills. I think the Chiefs are. I'm not going to pick Patrick Mahomes to lose to Josh Allen, even though
Yeah.
the Bills have been better the last, 6 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's how I feel. It's like it's just we're in the playoffs. And great, like Patrick Mahomes, I don't know that he's been as good in the playoffs as we get credit for. He's obviously won two Super Bowls, but he's had some a few early exits as well. Probably as many early exits as he has Super Bowls.
I think his best game was the Super Bowl he lost.
He played incredible that game.
Yeah.
That was yeah, that
Like,
was
talk about
absolutely
not getting
phenomenal.
any help.
No, that was truly yeah, just like you might as well have me go play offensive line,
That was
like.
crazy. Yeah. No, Mahomes was unbelievable that game.
Yeah. So no, I would pick the Chiefs as well.
So the Chiefs are 2.5 point underdogs. So it sounds like we both think they're just going to win.
Yeah.
Okay. Buccaneers, Lions are 6.5 point favorites. Do you think they can win by a touchdown against the Buccaneers? They only beat the Rams by 1 point.
I do think that. Yeah, I'm interested to see, how they respond to that defense, how that gets to Jared Goff. I'm sure they're going to just pick smarter, have better play calling
Yeah.
than we did, but
The last week of the season, the Tampa Bay had to win to get into the playoffs. They beat the Panthers 9-0. Earlier in the year, the Lions played in Tampa and the Lions won 20-0. I love Baker, but that offense can stall out.
yeah.
So I would pick the Lions to cover there as well. Ravens are favored by 9 points. It was 10, 9 points at home. So do you think the Ravens can win by 10 at home?
Yeah, I mean the Texans do look really, really good. But yeah, I think the Ravens, with John Harbaugh being, you know, one of the best five coaches in the NFL, I think they can win by 10 points.
I was going to pick the Texans to cover, but then I remembered when Baltimore, like, dropped 50 on Miami.
Yeah.
Like, and they shellacked the 49ers.
Right.
So I think you got to pick Baltimore there.
For, yeah, they're just a great, great team.
Niners, 9.5. So do you think they can beat the Packers by 10?
I think they can.
I think they can, too.
Yeah, just, I mean, they smoked us, the Eagles.
Smoked the Cowboys, too.
Yes, they did.
I think the Niners are on a mission, but it is a rivalry game. For the 49ers, Cowboys, Packers, obviously Rams, Seahawks. Cardinals, like, when I was growing up, Cardinals were my least favorite team, but, like, last, you know, 10 years or whatever, it's not really rivalry.
Right.
As much as these other games.
Uh-huh.
And the Raiders being out of the Bay Area, not as much anymore.
For sure.
So we're both, no disagreement, we're picking Niners, Lions, and then Ravens, Chiefs, AFC, or in the Conference Championship games.
I think so, yeah.
All right. I'm excited. I'll let you know if I end up going to California. Are you ready for the, what do we call it, top five?
Yeah.
Yeah, top five. So this one I think will be easier. It's another one where there's some tiebreakers. There's six teams. It's top five most Super Bowls all time, excluding Tom Brady, like by team.
By team, excluding Tom Brady, and these are Super Bowls. They are not NFL championships.
Yes, Super Bowl. When I say, like, because Tom Brady has seven, and the team with the most has six. So I'm just saying, like, by team is what I meant by the Tom Brady thing.
Okay. But are the Patriots?
Yeah. So you can count New England.
Okay, yeah, because they've only won Super Bowls with Tom Brady. So
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that's number one, the Patriots with six, or tied for first, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they are tied for first with the Steelers.
Yes.
The Niners, I believe, have five.
Yes.
Do the Cowboys have four?
Cowboys have five.
Cowboys have five, okay.
So those are the top four.
Okay. And this last one is going to be tricky, but I guess...
So you got three guesses, and there's two possibilities.
Oh, so is this a team tied, two teams tied for four?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I think because the Packers won two Super Bowls recently, and I think they won the first two Super Bowls as well, so they should be four.
Yeah, they won Super Bowl 1 and 2. You're right.
Yeah. Let me just, for fun, let's see if we can guess that other four
the other teams. Yeah. It's not obvious like the Packers or Steelers are.
So.
But I think if I say it, you'll get it.
I want to say the Broncos have at least, I'm aware of three that the Broncos have. And so I'm going to guess them because I think they could have won one that I don't know about.
No, they just have the three.
They just have the three. Okay. Let's see. Is not the... the Giants don't have four. The Commanders don't. The Jets don't have that many. I don't think the Dolphins do. The Bills definitely don't. I'm just going to go through by division. That's going to take Seahawks don't. The Rams don't. The Raiders don't. I don't think the Chiefs would be it. Not the Chargers. It's a solid team, not the Lions. Is it the Bears?
It is not the Bears. The Bears have one. 85.
Just the 85?
Yeah.
Wow. I would have thought they had more than that. Okay. It's not the Bears. I don't think it's anybody else in that division. I don't think it's the Bengals. The Ravens are going to have... Ooh, now do the Ravens have the Baltimore Colts? Super Bowls.
Yes, they do. Let me see how many that is. They only have... Well, Wikipedia is counting it as the Baltimore Ravens with two. So let me see if... Well, let me look, because they were... Okay, so the Baltimore / Indianapolis Colts have two, and then the Baltimore Ravens have two. So I guess they're breaking them out. They're separating them. That's... Because they're counting the Baltimore Colts with Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. But no, neither of those are right.
Okay, neither of those are right. Yeah. Okay.
Because they each have two, respectively.
Okay, well, I'll go quick.
I'll give you a hint. You've already said the team.
I've already said the team.
Yeah.
And I said it was one that didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
That's your last hint.
Okay. Jets. Dolphins. The Dolphins were good, but I mean, they lost that. Well, oh no, they were undefeated that one year. I don't think that won that many though. Let's. Yeah, I'll say the Dolphins because I don't.
They have two.
I have no inkling of what this would be. I did get a guess five, so to win. But
yeah, you already won.
But you can go ahead and tell me who
the Giants are. The other team.
The Giants have four.
Well, Eli has two.
Eli has two. Yeah, I know that. And I guess Lawrence Taylor was on the team.
They won in 86 and 90.
Okay.
Yeah, 2000 they lost, but yeah, so they have two. They have four total.
I didn't think they had quite that many. Well, good for the Giants.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, well that's top five. That's a playoff recap. So we'll be back next week. Letting you know if I make it out. I think it'd be fun. It'd probably be kind of dumb, but I think it'd be fun.
It would be fun and it would be dumb.
And the ticket's kind of expensive, but the best stories do come from the worst decisions.
Why have this financial consultant advisor job if not to buy spontaneous NFL playoff tickets?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. That's the whole reason that you get one of these kind of
like,
jobs.
And, like, hypothetically, you know, when I'm married with kids, I'm not going to be able to just go for a random weekend.
That's true. That's true. I mean, John did. He had to bring Lucas with him, but we had fun with Lucas.
Yeah. So. Well, anyway, it'd be fun. I'm excited. We'll see what happens. Appreciate everybody listening. Feel free to subscribe, 5-star review, everything there. We'll talk to you all next week.